Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 through 23. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, "Who does that young woman belong to?" The overseer replied, "She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." "May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here. Have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabite said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Let's begin with three pieces of background information to set the context for this chapter. Number one, in Leviticus 19, verses 9 to 10, and in chapter 23, verse 22, God commanded the children of Israel, "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings, what is left behind by the reapers, what falls. Of your harvest, don't gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God." Deuteronomy tells us that along with forgotten sheaves or along with the gleanings or fallen grapes and things, the harvesters were not to go back for forgotten sheaves, unplucked olives on the tree, or separated fruit. If anything fell or it was separated, it was just, you know, they forgot about it. They were to be left for the poor and the foreigner. And it's because that at at least some of the Israelites were obeying these commands of the Lord, that Ruth, who was both poor and a foreigner, asked Naomi permission to try and find the favor of a God-honoring landowner. Boaz showed favor to Ruth because he was a man who obeyed the Lord's commands. Number two, when Boaz interacted with Ruth, he told her not to go into any other field and he told his men not to harm her. Why? Because it was the days when the judges ruled, when everyone did what was right in their own eyes, when immorality and injustice were rampant. Ruth could have easily been accosted or taken advantage of in someone else's field. Boaz protected Ruth because he knew what would happen to her if he didn't. And number three, not only did Boaz protect Ruth, but he was also extremely generous to her. He allowed her to gather grain along with his harvesters and not just glean behind them. He instructed her to drink the water his men had drawn instead of having to draw it herself. He provided her with bread and roasted grain at mealtime. And he allowed her at the end of the day to thresh the barley she had gathered. Boaz had no ulterior motive for being generous to Ruth. Boaz went above and beyond the letter of the law because his relationship with the Lord, who had shown him kindness, led him to be kind to others. Boaz was kind to Ruth because the Lord was at work. And all of this led Ruth to ask, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Notice Boaz's response. It was a direct reference to Ruth's commitment of loyalty to Naomi in chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, when Ruth said, "Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." Ruth doesn't just know about Yahweh, she trusts in the Lord when she says, "Your God is my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me." Her commitment isn't just because of some external pressure or what would be convenient for her. Her commitment is because it is personal. "May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." She's using covenantal language, covenantal terms. Because Boaz had heard of what Ruth said even before he met her, this reputation, this testimony, this word had spread that Ruth had said these things to Naomi. Because Boaz had heard about that, he says to her, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with the people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." When Ruth showed Naomi kindness by going above and beyond what would have been expected of her without expecting anything in return, Naomi was not in a position to do anything for Ruth. But Ruth went above and beyond what was expected of her to show kindness to Naomi. Boaz also showed Ruth kindness without expecting anything in return. Boaz recognized the work of God in Ruth's life. He recognized Ruth's godly character by her actions. And he recognized that God was going to bless and reward Ruth, even though he didn't even immediately recognize that he would be the agent of God's blessing. He recognized that God was going to do this. God was going to bless her because, most importantly, Boaz recognized Ruth had chosen to take refuge under the wings of the Lord, the God of Israel. That was the difference It wasn't that Ruth was doing something extraordinary. It wasn't even that, you know, it was just her commitment. He says, you will be blessed. You will be, you know, the Lord will do this. Why? Because you have chosen to take refuge under the wings of the Lord, under the wings of the God of Israel, under the wings of Yahweh. Because you have chosen to do this, the Lord will respond. This reference to seeking refuge under the wings of the Lord may remind you of Psalm 91. Maybe you read Psalm 91 regularly. Maybe you read it this morning. Maybe you said, oh, I know what he's going to say, but may you be freshly encouraged every time you hear these words. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Oh, when we are born again, when we come to new life in Christ Jesus by believing and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ's redemptive sacrifice on the cross, when we experience Him covering us over with His cleansing blood and His perfect righteousness, we are experiencing, we come under the covering of His feathers, His wings, and He shows us His salvation. And here's what's true. When we are under the Lord's wings, first, we are protected. We are protected under the Lord's wings. Psalm 17:6-9 says, I will call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. Show me the wonders of your great love. You who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who are out to destroy me, from my mortal enemies who surround me. Maybe you don't have mortal enemies that are at your doorstep trying to kill you. Maybe you do. Even last week we heard stories. Maybe there is something that is very real that is happening in your life. But you understand that when we come under the shadow of the wings of the Lord, when we come under His care and protection, we're saying, oh Lord God, you are the one that is able to protect me. It doesn't matter what happens to me in the physical. I may even be martyred. It doesn't matter. I am under your protection. I am under your care. And here, I want you to realize, I want you to notice this. Not only are we protected from our foes, from harm, from danger when we're under the Lord's wings, but we're also protected from ourselves when we're under the Lord's wings. And here's what I mean. We are protected from our fears and anxious thoughts. Instead of having our anxious thoughts running frantically ahead of us, untamed, unbridled, we're able to take captive those thoughts. Why? Because we're in a place of rest and in the presence of the Lord, and we're able to see what these thoughts are for what they are rather than being misled by them. We are protected from ourselves. We are protected from trying to make things happen in our own strength. We are protected from seeing things in our, or according to what is right in our own eyes. Because by the way, when you're under the wings, you can't see anything, right? You can only experience the presence of the Lord. You don't even see your problem anymore. And so we are protected not only from all that would be external, we're protected from all that would be even internal. We can't do anything other than trust the Lord when we are under His wings. There's no other option. You know, when the chick is under the hen's wings, when that eaglet is under that eagle's wings, there's no other option. It just has to trust. And that's exactly what the Lord is asking of us. When we are under the Lord's wings, our prayers are heard. We are kept in peace. We witness the wonders of the Lord's great love. And we see that we are the apple of the Lord's eye. We realize that we are precious to the Lord. Or in other words, we are known for who we are and who the Lord intends for us to be. We realize our true identity when we are under the Lord's wings. The chicken is not putting the duckling under its wings, even though there's a story like that, something like that. The eaglet is under the eagle's wings. When we're under the Lord's wings, we know who we belong to. We understand who we are. We are known and we are able to understand what the Lord intends for us. Throughout the book, Ruth is called the Moabite or the foreigner. But you'll notice here that Boaz doesn't see her or refer to her as the Moabite, the foreigner. Boaz refers to her as one who is precious to the Lord. He says, you have chosen to come under the shadow of His wings. That means you are precious to the Lord. Boaz, because he's of his relationship with the Lord, he says, you are precious to the Lord. You are one who knows the Lord. You are one who obeys the Lord. You are one who the Lord cares for and will bless. And although neither Ruth nor Boaz knew it at the time, the Lord had already prepared Ruth's position in the lineage of the Messiah. When Ruth was in Moab, nobody would have said to her, you are now in the lineage of Jesus, of the Messiah to come. When she got to Israel, nobody would have said that. Even when she had her child, nobody would have said, oh, this child is now going to be in the lineage of the Messiah. Look at that. Look at what the Lord has done. But the Lord was working all these things together. By the time the book was written, it was clear that the writer, the narrator, and the readers, the hearers of the story, they knew exactly who Ruth was. By the time this book was written, they understood. She was no longer identified as the outsider, the foreigner. We will read in chapter 4, she was the one, like Rachel and Leah, who had built up the family of Israel. What a change, what a transformation. Now, we've considered how we benefit when we find refuge under the Lord's wings. But it's not just us who eagerly desire to be under the Lord's wings. We fulfill the Lord's desire when we come under the Lord's wings. In Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 to 39, as Jesus grieved over His people who rejected Him and therefore rejected the salvation of the Lord, He cried out, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate, for I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You see, the Lord sincerely desires for every single person, for each one of us, to be restored into an intimate relationship with him. And he desires to hold us close to him. He wants to draw us to him and cover us with his wings. That's his heart's desire. He delights in protecting us, in saving us. He longs to hear our prayers and answer them. He rejoices over us. The word says he sings over us. We please the Lord and make him glad when we seek refuge under his wings. So, we must respond and apply the word of God that we have heard by seeking refuge under the Lord's wings. Let me ask you, what do you fear? What calamity do you think is awaiting you? Who do you think is against you? What anxious thoughts, what unbridled thoughts are plaguing you? What prayer do you need the Lord to answer? What is the breakthrough that you need? Seek refuge under the shadow of the Lord's wings. And then let me ask you, are you seeking identity? Trying to figure out who you are? Are you trying to determine the meaning and purpose of your life? Have people put you in a box? The foreigner, the Moabite, the this, the that, whatever, a label. Maybe people have identified you in a certain way for so long that you have started to believe that's who you are. Do you feel misunderstood, lonely, or marginalized? And maybe it's not you who's on the receiving end. Maybe you're on the giving end. Maybe you see people like this. Maybe you look at people and you say, oh, the Moabite, the less than. Maybe you're the one who is putting labels. For every one of us, seek refuge under the Lord's wings. And let me ask you, are you seeking the will of the Lord for your life? Do you seek to please the Lord? Do you want to say, as Jesus said, you know, not my will but yours be done? Do you say, Lord God, you know, I want to see you be glad. I want to see you rejoice in me. Yeah. What will that take? Is it, oh, I kept every law. I made sure that I went to church every week. I discussed religious matters with my neighbor. Is this the way that you will please the Lord? Is this the way that you will appease him? Have you determined that you will obey his commands, follow his guidance, and stay in step with the Spirit? And that's how you will do it? Well, there is no better place to be than close to him under his wings. If you're seeking to please the Lord, seek refuge under the Lord's wings. How? Well, how do we come under the Lord's wings? The answer to that question is the same answer every time we consider how to apply the Word of God in our lives. There are no shortcuts. There's only one narrow way laid out before us. We must trust in His character. It begins with faith, believing that God is who He says He is, loving, faithful, powerful, trusting that He will protect and care for us, trusting that He will keep His word even when we don't see it, even when we don't know how it'll happen. We must, in order to apply this word, pray and surrender. We say, Lord, we come near to you. And in our time of prayer, we just have that conversation with him. We come to him in our times of fear, confusion, danger. And in every one of those situations, we can literally say, Lord, I hide myself in you. The world will make it sound as if you're somehow avoiding your problem. Oh, I'm not going to see it. No. You're very aware of your problems. But we hide ourselves in the Lord. We say, Lord, I want to be covered over with you. I want to be immersed in you. I want to be filled. I want to be filled by your presence. And even though I am completely aware of all that is there in the world around me, I don't even have to see it because all I see is your wings. I see your wings protecting. I see your wings holding me in. I see your wings telling me and or your care for me when you do this to tell me who I am and what you have purposed for me. Oh, Lord God, I hide myself in you. Be my shelter. Cover me with your peace. We must, in order to apply the word of God, meditate on the word of God. God's promises are like those sheltering wings. When we feel exposed, overwhelmed, scriptures like Psalm 91 can become a hiding place for our soul. We read, we meditate, and we bring them up before the Lord, and when we just repeat that word, when we rehearse that word, it calms our minds and reminds us, it speaks to our hearts directly of the Lord's unfailing truths. In order to apply the word, we must worship. Individually and corporately, we draw into the presence of God. We look for ways that will facilitate coming into the presence of God. Worship in whatever form. Music is a great way to do it, but it's not restricted to music. That in our worship of the Lord, we would draw near to Him and be found in His presence. Because it's in His presence where fear fades and peace settles in. And then to apply the word, we must fellowship. We must be joined into a local church where we can encourage one another, pray for one another, serve one another. And as we do that in the local church and in the body of Christ as a whole, we help one another to come under and remain under the Lord's wings. Because you know what? When you see your brother and your sister, when you peek out from underneath those feathers and you say, why are you outside? Come, 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 come. Come over here. Come over here. It's so nice here. It's so good right here under the shadow of His wings, under the Lord's wings. Come, come, come join me. That's our encouragement for one another. And then when that person gets there, you know, it's always good to have a few chicks under the wings, right? Not just one. You feel lonely if you're just one. But you have a few more chicks around you. And then you're able to pray together in agreement. You're able to encourage one another. You're able to say, oh, look at what the Lord has done. And then to apply the word of God, we must rest and be still in Jesus. When we say this is the word and this is what is God has spoken to me. Jesus is the ultimate expression of God's protective love. Trusting in His work on the cross and in His presence in our lives means that we don't carry the burden ourselves. We lay them down. We rest. We say, Lord God, you have promised to keep at perfect peace or in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on you. So seeking refuge is less about doing and more about being. Being still, quieting our hearts, and simply sitting in God's presence. This week, anytime really, as you seek to find refuge under the Lord's wings, as I mentioned earlier, there is no single method. It's not going to be because your friend did that, and then you copied exactly that, and then you said, oh, that's what I will do. You've got to seek the Lord and say, Lord God, what should I do to seek you? And maybe in all these things that I just read out to you, maybe there's one or two or three or four things that really need to be applied in your life. Start with one. Start with whatever the Holy Spirit is prompting. Maybe it's prayer. In our individual prayer and in our corporate prayer opportunities, whatever it may be, plug into that. Maybe it's to meditate on the word. And whether it's individually or in our Bible reading challenge or whatever other means, find a way to plug in and to say, Lord God, I meditate on your word. It is life to me. It is bread to me. It is living water to me. It is all that I need. Oh, whatever way that the Lord is going to touch you this week and to speak to you, I want to encourage you, say to him, Lord, I will do this. I will pursue this. Maybe it is to worship. And worship, like I said, doesn't have to be in just one fixed way. Whatever ways you can find to worship the Lord. Maybe it is to fellowship. Maybe it is to reach out to somebody. The Lord puts somebody on your heart. The Lord prompts you to call somebody. Don't hesitate. Just get in touch with that person. Fellowship with that person. Pray with that person. Encourage that person. And say, oh, maybe you're in a position where you can say, this week I'm experiencing, oh, the presence of the Lord and the covering of His wings. How about you? Are you feeling that? Are you experiencing that? Are you sensing the Lord speaking to you? And if that person says yes, oh, rejoice together. If that person says no, join together in prayer and say, Lord, let's pray together for that. We want to seek the refuge of the Lord's wings, under the Lord's wings. And maybe you've done quite a bit. Maybe you've strived for quite a while. Maybe you need to rest. Maybe you need to be still. Maybe you just need to say, Lord, I trust you. I don't know how this is going to resolve. I don't know how this will all shake out. But I trust you. Ruth came to Israel with nothing to find. She went into the fields because they really didn't have anything else they could do. She had to rely on somebody showing favor. But the Lord was at work. And the Lord is at work when all we have to do is choose to find refuge under His wings. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that, Lord, you are a good God to us. And you care so much for us that you draw us in. It's your heart's desire to draw us in under your wings. Do it for us now. Help us, Lord, to pay attention and to be received into your presence. Lord, to linger in your presence. Lord, to seek your refuge. Father, do it in a way that, Lord, transforms us so that nothing of this world and nothing of our cares and our worries and all of the limitations will be the focus. All we will know is that we are under the shelter of your wings, where you will protect us, you will care for us, you will speak to us, and Lord, you will rejoice over us. You will give us identity. You will let us know who we are. You will show us what is to come. You will fulfill all things. Help us, Lord, to run to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.